views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get ready to experience the truth. Welcome to Truth Talk Radio with your host, Deb Acker. Truth Talk Radio is the hit show that will illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. Unleash your intuitive nature while Deb helps you stop looking outside yourself for value and happiness, break through patterns, and move into your authentic truth at lightning speed. Truth Talk Radio will leave you feeling lighter, help you live with more presence, passion, and clarity, and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Now, here's your host, Deb Acker.
Hello, everyone. I'm Deb Acker, and you are listening to Truth Talk on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with me for the next hour as I help you experience the truth, nothing but the truth. Each month on the first and third Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'll have some of the most gifted, inspiring, and unique souls, speakers, and authors helping to move you into more light, love, and of course, truth. And before we get started, I'd like to start out today's show with an intention. And my intention for today's show is that everyone that needs to hear this conversation hears it, and that you leave feeling expansive, inspired, lit up, and open to receiving the awarenesses and energies that want to come through. And with that, I'd like to introduce today's very special guest, Rebecca Campbell. Rebecca is a best-selling author, spiritual teacher, grounded spiritual mentor, and soulful guide. She's the best-selling author of Light is the New Black, and she has guided thousands of women to listen to the callings of their soul and create a life that is completely aligned to them. Her second book, Rise, Sister, Rise, which we will be talking about today, launched this past October, and I'm so excited to be talking to her about that. And in 2015, she was awarded the Promising New Talent Award by the Mind, Body, Spirit Festival in London. In 2016, Rebecca received Emerging Voice by Kindred Spirit Magazine and was honored to receive the 100 Women of Spirit Award by Dadi Janki of the Brahma Kumaris for Feminine Leadership and Spiritual Service. And drawing on her unique experience as an award-winning advertising creative director, Rebecca loves helping people tap into their creativity and lead from a place that is authentic and lighting up the world in a way that only that she can. So my experience with Rebecca, too, in reading her book was that of a soul sister. And I felt that I'd really known her before, which looking at the energy, I actually believe I have. and I'm just so excited to introduce her to you today. So welcome, Rebecca. How are you?
Oh, I'm so great. It's so nice to speak with you, Deb. I love that you're based in Chicago. I've been going to Chicago for probably like about the past 5 years every year. And I just love it there.
Yeah, I love this. Like, this is such a great city, especially in the summer, but it's great all year long.
Yeah, it's so, like, grounded, but, like, really powerful. I love it there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I know you're from Australia, which is actually one of my favorite places in the world, so.
Yeah, we're all gypsies.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's so interesting, too. When I was reading your book, there were so many, commonalities. I mean, we both, I know you mentioned Gail Larson in your book, which actually I was at her retreat just a few months ago now. But for the listeners, Gail has a speaking retreat, and I noticed you had talked about her.
Gail Larson.
Yeah, yeah, there was just so many.
She's wonderful, especially
for people who are, you know, obviously the healers in the world and light workers and everyone who's ready to rise and really own their voice. I mean, yeah, she's amazing. So I want to talk about your book. I want to, it's such a call, right? It's a call to women everywhere who keep themselves small, who have dimmed their light, and they're, you know, really ready to step into their power. And so it was definitely a call to me, you know, for all those reasons and as a light worker and healer. And I actually want to read, you know, to start off our show, I want to read this passage. It's actually towards the end of the book, but I want to read it just to kind of set the tone for today's show. And the title of this poem is actually Rise, Sister, Rise. It says, when your plans and schemes and your hopes and dreams beg for you to let them go, rise, sister, rise. When the life you have so consciously created all comes crumbling down, rise, sister, rise. When your soul is heavy and your heart is broken in two, rise, sister, rise. When you gave it your best and it wasn't quite enough, rise, sister, rise. And when you've been beaten and defeated and feel so far away from home, rise, sister, rise. When you find yourself in a million pieces with no idea which bit goes where, rise, sister, rise. When you have loved and lost and then lost again, rise, sister, rise. When your wings have been clipped, your spirit dampened, and all you hear is a whisper, rise, sister, rise. When you finally beg mercy to your calling but have no idea where to start, rise, sister, rise. Rise for you and rise for me, for when you rise first, you make the path brighter for she. It's just so beautiful and just so perfect about what, you know, what I want to talk about in this, you know, in today's show, which is this calling, right? To rise, to really step into our power. And I know, like, in your book, you talk about, like, that call. Can you talk to us more about that? Like, this call that, you know, women everywhere are being called to step forth and really stand up and really rise to what they're being called to rise to.
Yeah, absolutely. So I feel like I think 2011, 2012, there was this real shift on the planet which happened where all of a sudden so many of us were like, all right, I need to step forward and really answer this niggle that maybe I've had inside me forever, or maybe it's just awoken. And I also feel like just recently, 2015 going into 2016, there's been another shift like that. And I believe that this era in history that we're in right now, it's been prophesied by mystics and sages of all the ages. Louis Bajin called it the Age of Aquarius. I call it the Age of Light. There are so many, the Mayans call it the New Dawn, but it's like we are on the cusp or the dawn of a new age in that sense. And I believe that there's many, many, I didn't know at the time, but as a young girl, I just like had this niggle, this knowing of like, I'm here for a reason. I know there's some work I'm meant to do. I don't know what it is. And I just felt it really stressed me out, to be honest. Like, I remember being really, really young and being like, there's something I need to find, there's something I need to do, and I can't rest until I do it. And I remember finally, like when I was a young teenager, I read a couple of books. I found a spiritual bookstore, and I read one particular book by Doreen Virtue, who introduced me to the term light worker. And now to me, a light worker is anyone who is basically accepting like a double mission for their life. So it's someone who, yeah, is here to grow at soul level themselves individually, but also someone who is ready to kind of step in and be of service as well and raise up the vibration of the planet, or just like surrender to the spirit and the soul and the creations that are rising in them. And, you know, we are coming out of 5,000 years worth of patriarchy where the masses have been led by a single few in quite a linear way. And the feminine wisdom and power and ancient knowingness has been pushed down, you know? And so this can be seen also with our disconnection to the earth. And for me, I believe that the feminine has always been rising and has always been there. But I feel like now, over this particular period that we're living in, and increasingly so day by day, it's like it's rising even more. And so many women are maybe they've been hearing the call for a while, but it's almost like now it's becoming harder and harder to ignore it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, if you tap into tapping into the energy, right? I can just feel that surge of energy that's coming, right? That like we're being called forth to step into more and like own it all, right? And, you know, I know you talk about even in the book, this creating versus not creating. And that that whole idea of like far too many people, like, it's like, it's really, it's the end, at the end of our time, you know, time here, at least in our, these physical bodies, where it's like, if you haven't, you know, if you've had that call, like you mentioned you had it at a young age. And for me, it, like, it's like where the energy is for me right now. It's like, if I don't do that, it's just like, I know that at the end of my time in this physical body, I'm going to have like that deep seated regret. And I just want to talk about that, because I think that's so important for people, you know, for light workers and people who are feeling that call to connect to and let it lead them, right? Let it,
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I think I remember before, I mean, first of all, like I from a young age, I could see what my path was, or I mean, looking back, I can see, and maybe you're the same, because I know you were in advertising too, Deb, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we all have our training ground for a reason. But when I was young, I remember being in the spiritual bookstore. I remember picking a book off the shelf and being like, oh, this is what I'm meant to do with my life. But I just felt like no one in my life could talk that language. I had no one to talk with. And so I very quickly went into a spiritual closet. And so it's like I created this life, which was very consciously created and amazing. I went undercover in a different industry, really successful career, blah, 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 like so many, like you, I'm sure. And I was waiting for that moment. That nibble was always there. So I was waiting for that moment for, it's almost like, for me to feel ready to do this work that I'm doing now. And I think I see it so often. So many of us, because it's like we've been living in societies where it's like we need to fit into in a box-shaped world in a way. And so many of us who come in with like the soul wisdom and you know, the connection with the energies that are wanting to be birthed into the world, it's actually very, very scary for us to do that. And so for me, I was petrified to do the work that I do now, like so scared. And I was like about 17 to 20 years avoiding it. And so I think that it's important when we have these conversations that it's not just like, oh, this path is really easy. This path is really hard. But in my experience, if you have that kind of calling, the only thing harder than actually doing it is not doing it, because you've got that niggle, that regretful feeling, which is waiting for you. You know, you talking about like the moment you die or in your deathbed, it's also there at like 3 a.m. in the morning. You know, when you wake up and it's just like, oh, I know there's something I'm called to do. And I feel personally, if you have that type of call, it's like the only way to find freedom is to answer it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so funny because I'm like totally getting all these like body chills as we're talking, and I'm just like, you know, it's because it is so powerful and it's so deep seated within each and every light worker. Like you just feel that. And I think part of it is like you, and you talk about this in your book, where it's like those deep seated lifetimes that we have, where we've been shut down, where we've been diminished, we've been made to be small, where we've been, you know, beaten alive for speaking our truth and being healers and helping. And so, you know, like, just like you, like I had that, you know, this moment as I'm stepping forth and speaking my truth and coming in the world to be who I came here to be. And literally, like, as this energy was flowing through me for like a month, like every night I'd be shaking. I was so connected to that energy. I was sitting in my bed shaking, and I'm like, okay, like this is what you came here to do. You got to just let yourself feel this. What recommendations do you have for someone that has that call, but yet hasn't stepped forward yet? You know, that's like, that is going through what, you know, it seems like pretty much all of us from these past life memories, especially are going through, where we're, you know, we are shaking, we're terrified.
So it's like addressing the fear around sharing the voice.
Yeah.
Well, all I can suggest is what I did. I wish it was an easier way. And I'm not saying not everyone has that soul fear. And to be clear, like my experience of the soul fear is that it's based on past ancestral that we can pick up as well. But I think the people who have it severely are, it's the past life memory of persecution, you know, living in the dark ages, being the witch, being the healer, living in times where it really wasn't safe to share your voice, to trust your wisdom, you know, and that was men and women, but more predominantly women, but it was both as well. And so that's, I feel, what we are picking up on. And I think also the first thing I'd say to someone who does have that is feeling petrified to share your voice, and it's more than just like, oh God, I have to speak in public, you know, which I think most people have that public fear, that public speaking fear. But for people who've got that soul memory, there's nothing scarier. And so the first thing I would say is there is, particularly in the Western world, there has never been a safer time in history to do this work. The second thing I would say is that every single time you speak, it gets easier. So for me, I just forced myself to do it. I just started baby steps and just started sharing my voice. Honestly, every day I started with like, you know, a little Instagram post where I'd walk in the morning and I'd write a little line, and that turned into what I called like Rebecca Thoughts, which was just like my Instagram feed. And then that very slowly turned into a blog, and then that very slowly turned into my website, and then that turned into an online oracle, and then that turned into a book proposal, and then that turned into my first book, Light is the New Black. And then, you know, it's interesting you mentioned Gail, because, you know, I got the book offer from Hay House. I had been teaching. I started teaching with a dear friend of mine, Robin Silverton. We started doing spirited sessions in London once a month. I just committed to teaching every month. The first time I taught, I was terrible, because I was like, I mean, I studied intuition. I'd done lots of training, but I was trying to teach how to be intuitive. But I was trying to like remember everything word for word. Like, it was terrible. And so I think if you do feel called,
I totally can relate to that.
I know. I look back now and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I found that courage to do it, because I suck. I mean, the guidance I was getting was spot on, but it was just, I was so afraid to share my voice. And that's the patriarchal model as well, right? It's like, you have to prepare. What you have within you isn't enough. And so, yeah, I just began teaching every single month. And every single month, every single time I taught, I got more confident. I got less scared. Every single time I wrote, the clearer my soul voice was, right? The thing about your soul voice is that it's wise. It knows exactly what to say. So really, the training needs to be to make the human part of you feel safe, like you protect her, so the soul can step forward and lead. And, you know, like, I got my first publishing deal, and, you know, I was doing it all, but I was still scared. And I remember I went to see Gail Larson in Santa Fe, because I was to do my first, Hay House, I Can Do It talk in London. So that was, like, just before my first book was launched. And I'm like going, oh God, like there's part of me which is like such a performer and kind of excited by the thought and knowing that this is my path. I've seen these visions of me on stage and all that. But then there's this other part going, are you kidding? Like, I can't believe you want to do that. And so I ended up in Santa Fe, and I know you've done the training, so you'll know it was like day two or whatever day it was. And Gail basically was like, okay, Rebecca, stand up and give, in my book, Rise to Rise, I wrote about this. And I said a 15-minute talk. And then I spoke to Gail recently. She's like, it was only 5 minutes. You're scaring people off. And so it was actually a 5-minute talk. But for me, it felt like 5 hours. And I was a 5-minute talk on something. Now, that morning, I had, because I'd very much gone there to really work with that, like that fear of speaking out stuff, I felt like this grapefruit-sized bulge in my throat. I could, like, barely swallow. I could feel, that, like, that real block just like bulging out of my throat chakra. And I was on the verge of tears all day long. No reason. It was just like one of those things where it's like something's coming up to me up here. And then when I was like feeling very emotional, she turns to me and says, okay, go, Rebecca. And I stood up and I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I can't, Gail. If I talk, I will cry. I don't know what is happening, but something's happening. Can you pick someone else? And she's like, no, talk through that. And I spoke and I spoke and I just like cried, like ugly cried, like really bad, like ugly, ugly crying. And of course, it's all on camera. And I'm going through it. And then what happened was when I allowed that part of me, which was actually the part of me which was like, I'm so pissed off at God right now. I'm so angry. Like, why is my message about encouraging other people to speak up when I'm petrified to do it myself? This is so unfair. Why can't it be about this? Why can't it be about this? And I got really, really angry. And then once that was out, then this like wise voice stepped forward and she spoke with like cadence and she spoke with energy and power. And I realized that that was like the 14-year-old girl who was journaling when she was younger, who was receiving the insight. And I realized that every time I speak on stage now, all I need to do is walk her to the stage and make her feel safe. So she can step forward and talk, you know? And, you know, it took me until last year when I was at the Mind Body Spirit Festival, while I was riding Rise to Rise, to finally not be afraid anymore. And I'm not afraid. I get nervous, like I think everyone does when you're about to stand out in front of thousands or hundreds of people. But I don't get scared. Like before it was like, someone is going to kill me for doing this. It wasn't the same thought.
Yeah. And I think like, it's working through that. Like for me too, it's like, I'm just like, be willing to be terrible. Right. Like, cause it's like every time I get some piece of feedback about how, when I've spoken or done an activation, I'm like, well, first of all, half the time it's like realizing, wait a minute, like that is an, like, that's not actually my truth. Right. Like, so it's like not taking it on, like allowing, if it's good feedback, allowing to incorporate that and make my, and just allowing it to help me, you know, thrive and move forward and for it to really motivate me, but also to recognize, okay, wait, is that my truth? Is that something that's actually going to help me to be more powerful? Or is that because like, you know, that surge of power is coming through me as I'm speaking. And sometimes it scares people, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, so it's,
well, that's the Shakti. That's the Shakti working through. And, you know, my one of my teachers, Sonia, she reminded me, because I was like, sometimes when I'm teaching, it's like some people have like the weirdest face, and I can't do it because we're on radio. And then she did the face, which I was talking, like, I didn't tell her. She's like, is it this one? Like, yes, that's it. She's like, that's the Shakti working. And so, yeah, and so I've discovered that when you take the personal out of it, because often it's the people who have that face on when you're teaching or who are resisting most when you're teaching that will be the ones that come back and are like, whoa, I didn't want to hear anything you were saying. But, and then, you know, because it's like our ego resists the soul growth, which is not to say that the ego is bad. It's just like, you know, I've always been taught that the more resistance we have around something, the more crucial it is for our soul growth. And also the more uncomfortable we are, the more we're probably growing.
Yeah.
And that's why this work isn't easy.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like it's really is about like I use that like fear and that feeling within me that like is terrified to like motivate me and know that like, you know, it's like, it's moving me in the right direction, right? It's helping me to go, you know, it's like a sign I'm going in the right direction, right? And it's that's
exactly.
That sign.
It,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like the fears are the gatekeepers to the gift. I don't think we're taught that enough. I think that I know for me, I wonder if it's the same for you. It was like, for so long I was waiting to feel ready to like really get that big green light go ahead before stepping towards what I knew I was being called towards, almost like being given the permission. And that's such a patriarchal way of being, whereas it's like, no, like if you're being called towards it, you don't need to ask anyone permission.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's so important in this day and age that we just like it's funny because I put my I like kind of being scared, and so you know I'm scared of heights, so I'll do a bunch of heights things to activate that fear. But what that helps me do, it's a vibration activation, right? Because it helps me that when you know things like this, where I'm going to step into my power and speak my truth and really put out my message in the world, I already have that. Like it's like I'm retraining my system to be able to be comfortable in that fear and to be able to like use it as a motivator and use it to, you know, push me forward. So it's something that's just so, so powerful. And, you know, you have a quote in the book that says you can be scared and still be safe. And I think
that
is so, you know, such a beautiful way to think about it, right? It's like, you know, that fear, even though you're terrified, it's sort of like, is it, you know, it's not like you're going to be persecuted like we were, you know, back in other lifetimes, right? So it's just really recognizing we are safe, and it is safe at this point in the world to come forth and speak your message. And the world needs it right now. They need more people stepping into their power and owning, you know, their gifts.
Absolutely.
So we are going to take a quick break here. This is Truth Talk. I am Deb Acker. When we return, we are going to speak more with Rebecca. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhyay and Steve Tanija on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics. Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook. Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
We're back on Truth Talk. I am your host, Deb Acker. My guest today is Rebecca Campbell, and we are talking about stepping into our power and really rising to the call. Before we continue, Rebecca, can you share your contact info with our listeners?
Absolutely. Best place to get me is RebeccaCampbell.me. And I'm also all over Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all of that, as the handle is at RebeccaThought.
Awesome. So before we went to break, we were talking all about, you know, really stepping into the call and moving through the fear. And I know in your book, you talk about the rising feminine archetypes. Can you share a little bit about, I think those are really important. I'm the seer. can you share a little bit about those? I think those just really were important in terms of really rising to that call.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing is, the rising feminine archetypes, we have them within every single one of us. So it's not like we're drawn to one or two, and that's the ones that we kind of really embody and take on. But we have the capacity to draw on the strengths of every single one of them. So that's interesting. You're the seer. So the seer is linked to the third eye, and it's all about the clear vision. And being like very attuned to quite like high energies, ability to like see things very clearly and highly sensitive, visionary, and the ability to kind of see the light and the dark, like the shadow, and see the bridge between the two. The high priestess is the crown chakra. And I'm very much this archetype. This is one of my main ones. And this is like the one who's like so devoted to the call. If you think about priestess is like the female version of the priest. So in a way, women who are really aligned to the high priestess archetype are aligned to almost like being married to God in a way. So with me, I have on my left hand, I've got my wedding ring, which is kind of like, it looks more like an engagement ring because I just loved it so much. On my left hand, I've got my marriage to my husband. And on my right hand, I have like a Mother Mary ring with a little teeny tiny diamond. And that's my marriage to God ring, or the goddess. the high priestess also is linked to, if you think of like a Virgo, astrologically, the Virgo, it's like there's this real attention and appreciation to beauty and really putting like so much love into creation. And the high priestess is the archetype who like back in the day, particularly like the Avalonian high priestesses, they were responsible for doing rituals so the sun would rise and fall. So high priestesses can be kind of like, you need to teach them how to not work so hard and to find a little bit more balance in their lives, perhaps. The fear, the watch out for the fear as well, is because they see things so clearly and see the vision and the truth so clearly. It's the reminder that like not everyone can see that and not everyone is ready to hear that.
Oh, I was going to say, I will say, so I've always said, even before I was tuned into, you know, my path or this piece of my path, I always said, I see clearly. Like that's always been something I've really known. And I forget that people don't see it the way that I see it. So
no,
I'm like, oh, you couldn't see that? Like, I was like, it just seems so clear to me that I was like, oh, doesn't everybody see it that way? But yeah, so yeah, it was.
Exactly. And a lot of seers as young children, because their ability, and a lot of young children are like this as well, because they're so much more tapped in. They haven't learned to kind of like push down the truth telling. A lot of seers as young children, it's like they can be like have that ability pushed down because not everyone actually wants to hear the truth.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they might be told off and be like, no, that's not true. And then begin to doubt it in a way. The next, which is if we're working down the throat chakra, this is the storyteller and the artist. So it's all about expression and being heard and sharing stories and opinions and ideas and creations with the world. The storyteller is like a wonderful speaker and writer, performer and teacher. They're probably a lot more, they probably have less of a fear around speaking out. Like the thought of speaking to groups and telling stories probably excites them in a way. And they're really devoted to like passing down wisdom and teaching through either the written word, the spoken word, or just gathering people. Next is the around the heart chakra is the healer. And the healer is the one, to heal means to see the wholeness, right? So a healer is someone who looks at someone who, you know, others might seem as broken or a situation as broken and sees the wholeness or the potential for the wholeness. That it's like there's a real natural empath where they can see how the pieces can be sewn back together or rearranged so that real healing can take place. They're really compassionate and they're like that. People feel that they're probably like the person who will meet a stranger on the street or be the person that everyone comes to and kind of like confesses things and be like, oh God, I can't believe I just told you that. I haven't told anyone that before. So and then I guess the shadow or the watch out for the healer is that, you know, like, you know, that it's like we need to be careful that we're not doing the healing and the growing for the other person. So, you know, we're not running the energetics through our system, rather where it's like there's that Annie Lamott quote, which I just love, and it's along the lines of lighthouses don't go running around the island looking for ships to save. They just stand there with their light on. And yeah. I think this is a really great memory or a reminder for the healer, where it's like, you know, I don't have to be the one who is doing the fixing. I can, like, the healing happens by me seeing the wholeness and showing the other the wholeness and seeing who they really are, and then them making the choice to do the mending or the changing and the shifting. So that's really where the healing is. And I think also with the healer, it's like, okay, it's okay to receive abundance for the work that you're doing, whether it's like the traditional healing or, you know, there's many healers whose job is not titled a healer, but that's what they're doing, whether it's a call center or a cafe or a boardroom, whatever it is. The next is around the solar plexus, and this is like the warrior or the wild woman. So this is like the real Joan of Arc, like Aries type energy, where it's like it's time to change things. They're not afraid to like step out and just stand up for what they believe in. I mean, maybe they're a little bit afraid, but they do it anyway. There's this real fierceness about them where they know that it's like, you know, it's almost like being the warrior, the warrior woman or the one who's going out and taking charge and making stuff happen. It's like there's this soundlessness about her and this unrestrainable personality and traits about her. And the thing about the wild woman and the particularly the warrior is that it's important for her to remember to fight for what she's for rather than what she's against. So not be addicted to the fight and being the underdog all the time. I'm sure all of us have a bit of that in us.
Yeah.
next is the second chakra, which is related to like the natural witch, the medicine woman, the shaman. It's that type more like earthy healer archetype. So like the seer, this natural witch, the medicine woman, has the capacity to journey into the shadows in order to find the light. So that ability to, you know, really face the darkness that exists, but then and then, but then pull the light out from that. So, you know, if you think of like the shaman or the medicine woman, it's kind of like those, it's real like earthy journey that they take people through. And, you know, through history, they may have been misunderstood and at times mistreated. Like if you're thinking about like the witch and the dark times, the burning times, it's like, you know, having that hangover of those periods in history. And so there may be either like this defensiveness or a fear around where, will they be judged, will they be harmed, will they be accepted if they really let the world see them for who they are. But the more that they share their voice and also just find their women who can support them, like their people, their protectors, their greatest supporters, this is just really important for the second chakra, rising feminine. And they're really connected to earth. They're like earth magic, earth medicine, and any way of like surrendering to that cyclic nature of life, which, you know, we all need to do, but particularly the witch and medicine woman, like really working with those energies. And then finally, with the root chakra, is the earth mother or the midwife. And I find often, like, the earth mother, it's like they're doing the work in a way that is almost like in disguise, and it's not based on theory, it's just because that's where they're called to do the work. I have two friends actually who are, you know, beautiful mothers with like big families, but they're also the mothers for pretty much everyone in their life. It's like everyone wants to be around them because they have that healing kind of like open armed approach to their life. And you know, they're adventurous, but their door is always open. And they're highly compassionate, very hands-on, and just like want to make people feel at home, whether it's through cooking, whether it's through like giving gifts, or whether it's through just like constant contact. You know, compared to the higher chakras are probably a lot more independent in the sense of like they'll go out in the world and probably not as great at staying in contact with like everyone in their life. Whereas the earth mother or the midwife are like, they are the support. They're like the Mother Earth in a way. And so, yeah, they've got the Mother Bear-like energy and are very protective and compassionate and hands-on. And I find that often they're wonderful hosts, like dinner party hosts, or, you know, inviting everyone, you know, over for tea or like on holiday. So, yeah, they're absolutely beautiful. And the thing to remember is that we have each of these archetypes within each of us. But there's something like one, which is our primary, and the second one, which is our secondary.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I can relate as you talked through those and as I was reading them, like I can relate to all of them on some level. The seer really stood out to me. You know, I feel like a secondary for me might be the healer. But I could definitely, there was pieces of all of them that I could definitely connect to. And I actually want to talk about, because one of the things that you talk about is being, you know, a natural witch, right? And so you talk about the witch hunt era and really, you know, and the importance right now in our culture and society today for us women, especially to band together. What are your recommendations for that? And really even further and deeper than that, creating, you know, our own personal sisterhood, because I think support is so crucial and so important. And I find for me, like the deeper I go into this work, the more I'm like, oh my God, you feel like you're like, you know, on an island. So,
totally. Well, I think that first of all, it's important to recognize that, in my opinion, all of us women, no matter what work we're doing, whether we're teaching stuff or not, I think that pretty much every woman has in her, whether it's like from a personal experience or ancestrally or past lives or all of the above, has like this hangover of mistrust of women, because society, and when I say society, it's not like anyone's to blame. It's just like the times we're living in. This isn't the fault of men's or corporations, or whatever. We're all victims of what we're living in, and also benefactors of it. Okay, so there's like no blame here. It's just like this is the way it is. And in my opinion, a lot of us have so much mistrust around women. And so, you know, they say that 90% of what we receive are just projections in the world. And so what I've noticed is in my own life and then also in others and teaching is that generally it's like, you know, if a woman doesn't text you back, whether she's your best friend or not, it's kind of like, for some of us, it's like our first thought is like, oh, I've done something wrong. She hates me, you know? And so there's a lot of that which we need to work through and realize that actually a lot of it is our projections, right? When it being in times where we have been really turned against each other as sisters. And so it takes time to really heal that. My advice is that I think we all need like an intimate group of a small circle of women who are able to like really hold the space for us. And what I mean by that is kind of like the healer in a way, where it's like this is what the healer is really good at is holding the space without having any expectation, holding the space so they're not trying to fix us. And this is a great thing for us to do with our girlfriends as well, because it's so, we've been trained as women to just like try and like be there and fix it and be perfect and all of that. And if our friendships are going to stand the test of time, we need to be able to break down completely. We need to be able to share where we're at and to have those outbursts and say those things maybe about our husbands or our parents or our whatever. And for the other to not expect, like, to not make a judgment on that or try and fix it in the moment. Sometimes we just need to vent. And I think that what I see happening a lot with us, with women, is that it's like we either go in and try and fix and save, or we judge and we're like, oh, that relationship is this. Whereas really, what's happened is women, if you look at like the monthly cycle for women, we go through the four main archetypes of womanhood, which is the maiden, which is the young, naive virgin, and which is linked to the spring season. And then we go into the mother, which is linked to summer, and that's like creating and just, you know, you've got lots of energy and you're ovulating them. And those two archetypes are very accepted and represented in our society. But then you go into the two different phases of womanhood and our monthly cycle. And this is regardless of whether we're menstruating or not, but I'll link it to the menstruation process. The third cycle is linked to autumn, and that's the PMS phase. And that is the wild woman, like the warrior woman, the one, and this is the period which all of us have. It's just she's not very accepted in our society, where it's like, you know, her skill is that she's like the seer as well, actually. She can see through the crap. She knows what's authentic and what's not. For me, at that time of my cycle, that's when I basically, there'll be a particular day and all of a sudden I'm like, the house is messy, this is wrong, everything's what this has to go. And I lose it, I'll probably like have an emotional, like I'll cry once a month and that'll be on that day. And then I'm just like, right, let's clear the deck. And until I realized that was my wild woman, that was the autumn coming through, I was thinking I was bloody crazy. Every single month, I'm like, what is happening to me? And then I started reading and studying about this part, and it's like, oh, this is a part of being a woman. And actually, superpower in that, particularly like if you're a writer, amazing time to do editing. It's an amazing time to just kind of like declutter your life, right? And then you go into the winter phase, which is linked to the crone, which is like the elder, right? And this phase, this is when we're actually bleeding, and this is when women just slow down, and this is when we're actually deaf to answer really big questions in our life. We're at our most intuitive during this phase. And so it's the those last two phases of the cycle, the autumn and the winter, which is the wild woman, and the crone, which you know, if you look at those archetypes of women, they're the archetypes of women that have been pushed out of society. And you know, we're constantly trying to be the maiden and if not the mother, and you don't want to age past them. We've got to try and look like the 25-year-old our whole lives. But yeah. In doing that, we've been stunting and pushing down and kind of like containing our power, which is the wild woman, and our wisdom, which is the crone. And so when it comes to how this relates to relationships with women is that you know, if we're through the way that we've been brought up and just like living in the world that we live in, if we're trying to like hold in that power, like that wild woman, we're going to have these like outbursts, you know. And if we're capable of having those outbursts ourselves, or at least feeling those feelings of like judgment or whatever it is, then we're thinking, oh, she must be too. And so I believe that like a great healing process individually and collectively is to start learning about the phases of the female cycle and to gather women around to do that. So I've got one particular like WhatsApp group with myself and three other women where we basically just kind of like write text messages about where we are in our cycle. And so anytime you can tell when someone's in the wild woman autumn phase, because they'll just kind of like send lots of like knives and fire and just like, wow, I want to kill my husband because he's eating loudly. Whereas if we're not expressing that in a way that's healthy, then those outbursts are going to happen in a different way. And so I think that women gathering and actually being honest about where they're at is just such a relief, and telling the truth about our lives. And I believe that it's so much more beneficial for us to have a small group of women who can really hold the space and who we trust deeply, and we are there for deeply, without trying to fix them, without trying to save them, and vice versa. We're so much better off having that than, you know, hundreds of people saying happy birthday on our Facebook wall.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's nothing more healing than a group of women who are coming together in complete and utter love and support of the other.
Yeah. Well, and I loved your, like, the way that you reframed the way that we look at our periods, right? And just all of it. I love that, because I actually just took that, you know, as I was reading the book, I was like, all right, the next time I have my cycle, I took that into that and had a completely, it was like, you know, because all of a sudden I was owning my womanhood and grateful for that. And just, I put a completely different energy towards it. And it shifted my whole experience of that time, which usually, you know, obviously just like most women, you're not feeling well, you want to be at home. And just, so it was just a really wonderful way to look at that, because let's face it, you know, depending on where you are and your, you know, in your life, you're going to be having those for quite some time. So it's important that we really shift that and shift our, you know, reframe, you know, the way that we really look at that. And in terms of building a sisterhood, like, do you have any recommendations as to how we do this? Because like, I'm in the process of doing this right now, and like, I've got some, like, I don't yet have my full core sisters. So I'm curious what your recommendations are for that.
So the first thing I do is just pray for them and pray to call them in and just begin talking to them in, you know, spirit form, as in like, I'm ready for my sisters who are going to come in and support me, and I'll support them. I think it can be just like a very small group. I think if possible, it's great to be physically near each other. But honestly, my closest people, they're not. Like, even the ones that live in the same city, the sisterhood is really more WhatsApp text or Facebook messages, you know, but it's the constant contact, you know?
And just with that, I want to thank you all for tuning into Truth Talk. I always love hearing from my audience. If you have a comment on the show or like to introduce yourself, you can send me a note on the contact page of my website at deborahacker.com. And there you can also sign up for my free Living in Your Truth guide. In the meantime, I hope you have a great week, and I'll look forward to talking with you next time.
Thank you for listening to Truth Talk Radio with your host, Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and experience the truth of who you are and who you came here to be. Each week, Deb interviews an inspiring guest and illuminates the truth to a wide range of topics, including love, life, purpose, career, consciousness, and abundance. Welcome to the world of infinite possibilities. For more information about Deb, including how to contact or work with her, visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com. Look forward to seeing you next week for more Truth Talk Radio.